remake of Samsonov's Game.
I thought I would categorize each of their goals from his perspective as good goals. You know, like there's a tough chances, tough shots. He made a couple of saves, that one flurry in the first period towards the end there, where there's stuff happening around the goal line. He battled, kept it out. I don't put this one on him for sure, obviously. And, you know, on the other side, we only get one. So that's not good enough to help any goalie win.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning. I mean, like, factually, you can win, only scoring a goal.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very difficult to win.
So hard.
Not advisable to only score one goal if you're attempting to win a hockey game. Also, yeah, sure, good goals. Like, there's no 200-footer. Like Vesa Toskala
not walking goal. Through that door. No. No Dan Cloutier in here.
I mean, there's like a blue line screenshot.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't know. We're not supposed to criticize that.
God, just give me the clip of Keith yelling it. I think it's Sanford now, the goalie coach.
I don't care.
Stop one.
Yeah. He gave up four. How do you... Well, I mean, we've also heard this evaluation of your goaltending. Hey, what did you think of Ilya Samsonov's performance? He let in four. It's too many.
Also true. Yeah, it's actually the reverse Grant Fuhr is, I think, what we're going to call that. It's like Grant Fuhr was always like, well, he didn't let in the six. It's like Ilya Samsonov always lets in the fourth.
All right. Let's talk to... your friend and mine.
Oh, definitely my friend.
The great Gord Stellick. How's it going, Gordo?
Hakuna Matata, guys.
Okay, you're the second person close-ish to the Leafs that I'll allow to say that. When I saw that quote, I was like, oh, come on. Who said that? And then I was like, oh, okay, Ryan Reeves. I feel like he's kind of allowed. I'll also accept it from you, Gordo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there is some truth to it. It doesn't change what happened Saturday, because as you guys are discussing, you couldn't have written a more imperfect script. I would not have included a fourth line goal against you at an odd man rush within the first 2 minutes of the game to start. I mean, that's another kick in the onions, as Chuck Swirsky would say. I mean, geez. But then there are positives you can glean from it, but it doesn't matter, you know, and you guys are talking about it. We'll find out tonight if Hakuna Matata applies, because they have to do the talking on the ice, and we'll see what gives.
Yeah, because it means no worries for the rest of your days. You lose tonight, there's going to be worries, for the rest of the offseason. If the Leafs lose in this first round series. All right, I'm going to frame this conversation with you the same way we started the show, Gord, because it's so easy to talk about the negatives from that game on Saturday. All right, find the positives then. Give me one of your positives.
They did get some chances. Matthews hitting the post and some other chances, but it also showed the disparity in the goaltending, which is, you look at Thatcher Demko making a huge early save last night for the Vancouver Canucks, and even though Nashville scored the first goal of the game, he made that big save, right? You want that big save in the playoffs. So Boston got some of those, which meant the Leafs did have some chances. That really, though, is about it. I mean, there's parts of how they, you could say they competed, played well, whatever it may be. I mean, they outshot them. But no, it's reminded me of my time there making excuses afterwards when it's all said and done. But that's a positive I'm going to take out of it. But you guys talked about it. Eight consecutive playoff games have not scored more than two goals. I mean, that's where it gets more and more baffling, because you're supposed to be beat the Grant Fuhr days. You're supposed to lose like Colorado did last night, 7-6. Mm-hmm. You know, not you be the team that can't find that third goal, because the Toronto Maple Leafs, all their money is invested in scoring, and all their and the biggest part of their strength is big offense from a small number of players.
Yeah, a couple things there. I mean, you mentioned how good Swayman was, and I think a lot of times you'd say, okay, you're confident asking that guy to be that good three more times, but not with him. I think he could kind of easily be that good in three more games of the next six here. Just last one on goaltending, so much more to pick at here. Do you go back to Samsonov tonight? I didn't like the game from him, but I think you have to go back to him tonight, and then if he falters again, you go Joe Wall back at home. How would you handle things for tonight, Gordo?
Well, I wish it was the Joe Wall of a month ago or whatever it was, or just when he was playing well, not the Joe Wall that got hurt and has been ordinary since, you know? So I'm big on Joe Wall. He'll ultimately be the number one guy, I said, even up to I forget when. So, hey, what's 100% healthy, and particularly for a goaltender? He starts you assume when they're ready to play, it means they're all good to go and go an elite level. I think probably the safe thing is to give Samsonov another start. Either way, I'm not really excited.
So this is
agreed as well. Just yes, let me agree with that, Corey.
This is the second highest scoring team in the regular season. The Toronto Maple Leafs are 8 consecutive postseason games now, Gord, 2 goals or fewer. Why can't this team score in the playoffs?
Yeah. Well, I mean, goals are hard to come by. They're hard to come by in the playoffs. The commitment to a different kind of game, or the ability to play that kind of game, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know why. And again, we could end up eating our words. That's why I'm choosing them carefully. I did pick the Leafs in 6, and we'll see how this thing does play out. But historically, they've proven they can't get the big goal when they've needed it. A Nick Paul will get it. They can make the big Galchenyuk-like mistake when needed. You know, whatever. I'm not going to complain about officiating, but you get the Tavares, factor that one game, the penalty. I mean, again, that's all part of the game. So I'm good. But it just whatever it's taken not to win has happened to them. And what I've liked in the regular season over the last number of years is the way they found ways to win games. Never mind the statistics, how you go about winning games, where it's coming from a 2-goal deficit, whether it's getting the critical goal late in the game and that. And it's almost inexplicable. So last year you got 5 games against Florida, and then you had 2 against Tampa Bay. So I'm okay with the final 2 because you won the series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and one of those games you won when you didn't score more than 2 goals. So then Florida, you flat out didn't show up the first 3 games, and you could say the same last night. So you got 4 out of 6 games that you didn't score more than 2 goals that are just flat out subpar playoff performances almost from the puck drop. So that's it. So it's simple to analyze. It should be simple to be able to figure a different way to compete at a better pace place in the playoffs, but that's what's eluded them.
Yeah, you mentioned the officiating there, and this isn't me going, oh, but the refs, and they did the Leafs so dirty. Why do you think it is the Leafs are, I shouldn't say never, but rarely able to find the right side of the ledger? I mean, we've seen, and this isn't just in the Saturday game, but we've seen a million times of other teams try to come out to the Leafs, be it the Florida Panthers last year, and say, we're going to take a physical bent and bring it at you. It seems like when the Leafs try to take that tact, they can never seem to do it without crossing the line, without having the slashing penalty like Domi took. What do you think it is about the, I don't know, makeup of this team, the way the roster's put together? It just seems like they have such trouble kind of finding the ability to, I guess, walk the line is kind of what I'm saying. Do you see that as well with this group, Gord?
Well, it's funny because a guy that would be very useful, Nazem Kadri, 2 consecutive years, like he wasn't able to walk the line to say the least. Michael Bunting, although taking out a critical defenseman on Tampa Bay was
well
a
done.
Big factor about winning. But yeah, same thing. But
Back
again,
we should have broken Brad Marchand's hand if you're going to take that penalty.
Well, geez, you know what? I mean,
it's the voice of Ben Ennis. Gord Stellick and Brent Gunning do not co-sign that comment.
Just joking around.
But you know what he was trying to do, but again, it all gets, you're right. It's the whole thing. I mean, it all comes together. Like when you're not scoring more than 2 goals, when you're not getting great goaltending, when the fourth line gets an odd man rush and scores against you, everything goes south. I mean, John Cooper talked about that last night, Tampa Bay and Florida, just said in his case, his team didn't play the right way the first 15 minutes, did the last 45, but it was too little too late against the Florida Panthers. So, I hate to say broken record because I'm tired of being a broken record as you are in discussing it, but just everything just goes to hell in a handbasket when this kind of playoff game comes together for the Maple Leafs, including a lack of discipline, including going over the line when you're trying to be physical, including unneeded penalties and suspensions.
No, it's ridiculous how similar the scripts are to so many postseason games of recent vintage for this team. Included in that is the poor special teams play, both on the penalty kill, allowing 2 Bruins power play goals against, but getting the opportunity on the 4-on-3 to start the second period felt like, man, we live in an alternate reality if they score on that power play. And I know they're missing William Nylander, who we can get to in just a second here, but like at a certain point with the sample that we've gotten with these group of guys on that top unit and how bad it's been, like, do you just go nuclear with it? How do you approach it if you're Sheldon Keefe?
So I'm wondering, just listening to, and again, I understand the playoffs, there's a different mantra. He faces the media, and they're top secret about Willie Nylander, they're top secret about goaltending. And I almost wonder sometimes this kind of environment that everything is so straight and buttoned down and serious and tense. I don't know. Are they too tense? Are they too tense? Like it's a fun loosen up team, you know, during the season. It's a fun team. It's a entertaining team. It's a skilled team. Like, do they almost like is that a factor that comes into play that you're starting the game so much more nervously and tentatively than, say, the way Adam Lowry and the Winnipeg Jets played last night, how they went out against the Colorado Avalanche? So I guess your question was 4-on-3. Do you stack the big guns? Well, the big guns.
No,
all,
it's
well,
just
one big...
like, do you mess with, I mean, how do you get the power play going? Because what they've got going right now, and I know it's a different personnel group by necessity because there's no William Nylander, but like we've seen the thing with the top four forwards and Morgan Rielly for the last couple of months in the season, that power play has looked awful. It hasn't looked at all like it looked during the seven games, I guess, or the five games when Morgan Rielly was out, where it looked like it was at its best.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had that ridiculous stretch for Pittsburgh that they, you know, Sidney Crosby and company, they had an over-complete, like 70 minutes of not scoring a power play goal during the regular season, which is unbelievable, playing a man short for 70 minutes. And you get shut out, that kind of power play. But you got to play the big guns. You can't, you know, like these are who you go to the dance with. These are who you've committed with. They have to find a way, whether it's the players themselves, whether it's the many assistant coaches, whatever, that what was it that made that power play work? And you got to get it working in the playoffs. Like, why wouldn't you just put a bunch of new guys in there?
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that. It's just, I mean, and God, no one's sitting here. Well, I mean, maybe we'll be having a different conversation if he doesn't score tonight. But no one's sitting here going, you know whose fault it is? It's that Austin Matthews. He doesn't score enough goals. But it is remarkable for a guy who is a, you know, he walks into the league as the clubhouse leader in goals every single year. It's like we all expect him to win the Rocket, but he doesn't do, I mean, he does some damage on the power play, but he's not a power play merchant in the way a Draisaitl is or an Ovechkin is. And you love that about him. I mean, Austin Matthews being dominant at 5-on-5 is what takes the transcendent goal scoring and makes it special. But it is just so jarring that guy specifically with the shot the way he has never really found that spot to operate. You know, it felt like a little bit this year there was the kind of almost the bumper spot in the bottom part of that right circle where he was able to get like a little quick one-timers, but it never feels like he's had a spot like Ovechkin does or like Stamkos does. And you know, maybe you don't want a power play to be that static, but it's just so jarring to have that thing be what is always going dormant at this time of year and to have the most dangerous goal scorer of his generation. It almost doesn't compute in the brain, Gord.
Well, you know, who's your Sam Reinhardt? You know, like, because Mitch Marner's not a guy who shoots a ton either. So I see your point there. Just like, there's just so many things that the power, you know, that maybe that factors into all of it. Just when you don't seem to start the game in a manner that you're ready to compete in an NHL playoff game, and I go back to the first three games against Florida last year, and that's how the result ends up, whether it's a pedestrian power play, whether, I mean, all these things are the consequences about whatever that it factor that you just didn't seem to show up to play real playoff hockey.
William Nylander didn't show up either for reasons unknown. Do you know? Like, you're close to the organization. Come on, give us the lowdown, Gord. Where is William Nylander?
Why are you holding him out? That's the question.
Yeah, it could have been a rotator cuff injury doing the phone commercials from the subway. I don't know. Maybe too many.
I thought you were going to say he's playing pickleball with you, and that was the problem, Gord.
I'm a big William Nylander fan, and you know we're not going to get back to that. Oh my God, lost to Columbus because there was no Jake Muzzin. Okay, we got to get away from that always about making excuses. But boy. The most durable Leaf, and he hasn't played so great the end of the season. We know that. I mean, we did talk so much about resting guys. Was he a guy that could have been rested game 81 and 82 then? Like, I mean, how the hell do you play game 82 and not game one of the playoffs?
Yeah, without
a distinctive visual injury that we would know at that point. So, man, oh, man, you got to hope he's ready. It's not a lot of turnaround time tonight, and then also can he be affected? Because he's not been affected the last, what, 8 or 9 games of the regular season.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. And, you know, sometimes I think
I'm as guilty of this as anybody when I'm listening to, when I'm not talking, when I'm listening to other people talk, I go, oh,
there's a part where you of your life where you're not talking?
I listen to podcasts when I drive home. That's it. And then I talk.
But I assume you talk to the podcast.
I am. I'm the third guest. Like, I'm listening to 32 Thoughts, and I'm like, honestly, Frege, like, just let me get in here for a second. So, but when I, when I'm listening to other people talk, I will be as guilty as anyone. So, oh, stop making excuses for these guys. But what does it do to a team to, look, this isn't Bobby McMahon all of a sudden not being available. And, hey, they could have used Bobby McMahon in that game. But what does it do to not have William Nylander? Again, this isn't me saying, oh, there's no way they could have won. Look at this curveball. Guys get injured all the time. But I, and, you know, we're trying to read the tea leaves here. It seems like the team is surprised about this as well. It seems like they are a little caught off guard. Like, what do you think it does to the psychology of the group to, again, this isn't David Camp. I shouldn't use the only guy who scored a goal, but this isn't David Camp missing game one. It's William Nylander, who also, outside of COVID, never misses time. It has to throw them for a loop in a certain way.
Well, you look at that first game, Morgan Riley's suspension, and then you turned on not expecting Riley, but there was no Marner and Tavares. Mm-hmm. And again, regular season. And why not in the playoffs? Like, you mentioned Steven Stamkos. We know the whole bubble story, right? They won a Stanley Cup without him till that one game. So the part is, I got to think, you know, teammates are plugged in. I mean, Willie Nylander hangs with them all and with internally discuss whatever, you know, so it couldn't have been a total surprise that, you know, that when it started. So anyway, it's a strange one for everybody, but, you know, the same old thing. You love to have them in there. I like to have all the elite players in the league in there. And but that's a part of the game that you gotta be able to withstand. And again, they did it. They've done it the last couple of years in the regular season. They played some of their best hockey when they've been the most injury depleted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It is absolutely true. We'll see. Probably going to have to do it again tonight in game two in Boston. Gordo, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
The circle of life, guys. Catch you later.
That's right. See you, man.
Well done.
yeah, that's a good one, too. All right.
It's almost like he's done this for longer than I've been alive. Like, yeah. He's just so good at this.
Yeah, here's the thing. When the Leafs lose this series... Sorry, if the Leafs lose this series, I got distracted.
No.
It was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, I was going to say, the truth came out.
If the Leafs lose this series, it won't even be, the Columbus, hey, no Jake Muzzin. It'll be issue number 6 or 7 that William Nylander didn't play in this series. Because I don't care. Like, I understand, how impactful he is to this team and how much you miss him, and how he's one of the few guys whose numbers don't fall off a cliff come the postseason. We've looked at him as if he's like some just superhuman in the postseason because, his numbers are like not that dissimilar to the regular season numbers, considering some of the other guys and the massive drop-offs you see specifically with Mitch Marner and the pucks over the glass. This is not... I just envision a moment where, like, Leafs lose in 7 games to the Bruins and William Nylander doesn't play in any of the games. And it's like, man, that's disappointing. And you got to fire Sheldon Keefe. But look how close they were without one of their key contributors. This happens. I mean, where is that conversation about Eric Chernak a season ago?
Well, I think, and I don't want to undercut what Chernak means, who's a defenseman that ate a lot of time, but like, William Nylander was a nearly 100-point guy. He was player of the month, I think, twice in the league this season. Definitely at least once. I think they're two different conversations. I think when we're sitting here, let's say Nylander never gets in this series and the Leafs lose in 6. I don't know. That feels pretty plausible to me. The Nylander part less so, but who knows? But if that happens, I think when we're having a conversation about John Tavares and Austin Matthews and Morgan Riley and Mitch Marner... And, well, not William Nylander because he's not playing. But the guys that matter on this team, we don't get to say about them, oh, well, there's no Nylander. What are you going to do? No, you're still going to have the exact referendum, whatever it was you thought you were going to have heading into this series on them. That conversation does not change because Nylander's not in the lineup. But I think from a team perspective, I do tend to believe – because he was on the ice yesterday, that he gets in, maybe not tonight, but in this series. I do tend to believe that. Again, no information, just gut feel. Maybe I'm trying to speak it into existence. I don't know. But I don't think you can just paper over losing a guy who carried your team for parts of it. This isn't to say, well, there's no way they could have won the series, or you take all the expectations off of them. But I do think the idea of, oh, that's issue, like, that's way, way down the pecking order. I don't know. That's still pretty. And we got to see how it plays out,
yeah,
right? Matthews rips five, no one's criticizing him. If Marner has 10 points like Tyler Bertuzzi did in a Game 7 series loss, I'm not saying no one's criticizing him, but that will shield him a little from it. But, yeah, those guys are dormant. We're not sitting here having a William Nylander conversation because those guys weren't able to carry it without him. So I think part of it is how it plays out. But I want to get ahead of this, that this isn't making an excuse. Ugh. But if Nylander doesn't play in the series, that kind of matters. If you're doing a draft, the players in this series, how high is he in it? At worst, sixth?
Yeah.
Like, just quickly, off the top of your head, something like that.
Okay, Marchand, Pasternak, Matthews.
No, goalies don't count. I feel like that goes without saying. Yeah. Matthews, Pasternak, McAvoy.
Lindholm.
You taking Lindholm over Nylander? Like, I think that's 6-1, half dozen of the other. Yeah. Okay, but he's a top 6 or 7 player in the series. Mm-hmm. Losing him for the entirety of it would matter. I don't need to pre-make excuses. You can also still win a series without him. It's not to say it's a death knell, but I do think we have to have proper perspective on this. Look, I love to bury the Leafs as much as anyone else. I like it better when they win. I could just talk about how great they are. That is my favorite, but I'm happy to bury them when it's deserved. But if they lose a series in which, once again, we're talking about a lack of offense, yes, point to the stars, for sure. Yeah. Still have the conversation, the exact same one you want to have about all the stars. But if you're going to talk about it, oh, you can't win with this team with all their million-dollar forwards. Well, if one of them didn't play, that kind of matters.
And
that
does.
And again, this is apples to oranges. But it would also be the second time in, the last 3 years that they went through a series without one of their kajillion dollar forwards, John Tavares, Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, they went up 3-1.
No, they should have won that series in the Mole Galchenyuk. Dermot.
I guess, yeah, okay. It'll be on the list. I put it top 10. I put it 6th.
It's higher than 6th.
Here's the thing. I think if they lose this series, it's because they're not scoring enough, which you're right. Yeah, William Nylander's a part of, but they should be able to score enough without him. There's enough firepower on this team. Again, second highest scoring team in the National Hockey League during the regular season. Mm-hmm. The highest scoring team put up, what was it, 7-6 or 8-7? No, 7-6. Sure. They put up 6 in a losing effort against the Vezina winner yesterday in the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, what we're building towards here now after the 5 games without a goal in the Panthers series and after the no goals in 1 game against the Boston Bruins, after a 69-goal campaign in which so much was made, even after the coach said we don't care about 70 goals, about his individual regular season counting statistics, is a real Austin Matthews conversation.
Yeah, that's why I think it's 2 conversations. I think the Nylander absence, it can be like a little parsley on top of the Matthews, Marner, Tavares conversation.
Yeah.
That doesn't change because Nylander's not there. Because it also would be different, too, if Nylander and Marner had been stapled to Tavares and Matthews all year long. Mm-hmm. But they haven't. Matthews, he hasn't lost a line mate. You know, Bertuzzi's still there. Domi's still there. Nothing's changed for him. So that's why I think of the elite upper echelon of this team, the Nylander injury, again, who knows how much he plays, doesn't play in this series. It changes that conversation very little. But I think if you're talking about the way the Leafs are built and the road forward for this, not having that guy has to matter. And it can't be the 7th or 8th thing. It's got to be like a top 1 or 2 thing to take out of this series.
Well, like we've talked about before, I think the conversation about how this Leafs team is built is it's over anyways.
Well, that's true. Also, just like,
who's having that conversation? What can you do? You can't undo anything.
Well,
Mitch Marner, watch him disappear for nothing.
The Kipper article from last week that we talked about, that was illuminating. I don't think Mitch Marner is getting traded this offseason, but that was interesting. Also, just to put a point on this, he was 10th in the league in scoring this year, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't get to take, and again, who knows what happened? Maybe he plays tonight, and this conversation sounds ridiculous. You don't get to take away the 10th leading scorer, not on their team, in the league from somebody and go, well, that's just an excuse.
God, you know, again, we have no information, so we're just trying to figure it out here. Yeah. If it is just like he woke up one day and was like, I'm broken. I broke my body. hard to imagine that, the guy that's played so many games, that played down the stretch, who played in game number 82, there was no inkling that he was the guy that needed the day off, like that he wouldn't have indicated to you
wild.
Or you with your 1 billion staff members, yes. so many of them with PhDs and MDs, I'm thinking.
Yeah, we joke about the khakis, man.
Yeah, I don't. There's no device that he wears or some testing that he goes through that indicated at all that the body was on the verge of collapse.
It's weird.
That he played all the games down the stretch, including the final meaningless game. Like, all the final four games were all meaningless. He played in all of them. And game one of the playoffs, the most important game of the season, that's the one he misses after 8 years of playing all the games? It's I mean, I guess you could say that it's the curse thing, but it's hard to imagine that a guy just wakes up one day and is broken.
Yeah, it's almost like the team is cursed or something. And if that happened, I will say, I was about to say this is so Leafy, but this is a new one. We have had a million wrinkles and playoff pain in the past, and Gord brought up my favorite log to throw on the fire of Leafs playoff pain of the Justin Hall pick penalty when it appeared like John Tavares had scored the goal, and then the hockey gods gave him the goal next year in overtime, so it kind of washed itself out. But think about all the different versions of this we've had. We've had the Mole Galchenyuk with the spinning backhand feed to his former team to let them win in overtime. John Tavares bleeding from his ears on center ice 10 minutes into a playoff. Yeah. The Leafs blowing 4-1 leads, coming back against it. This is just like only the Leafs could find another wrinkle. We have had them all over this Matthews, Babs, Keefe era, whatever you want to call it. You're going up in the Capitals when you had no business. So many different wrinkles, and they found a new one for us. Honestly, we joke about the NFL scriptwriters all the time.
Yeah.
Not even NHLs. And there's a lot of good stuff from the NHL this weekend. We'll talk about it more. But just whoever's writing the script for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's like M. Night Shyamalan stuff. It's just like, twist. What about this at the end? It's nuts.
Yeah.
Your movie guide was offended by me using that reference, eh?
No, I'm not offended. Okay. No, okay. M. Night Shyamalan has a new movie out that was filmed in Milton.
Oh, okay. Good for the people of Milton.
Yeah.
And him, I guess. Probably going to make some dough.
Last thing for me before we take the break now.
And talk about more hockey and playoffs.
What I remember from the power play being good.
Oh. Tell me. Regale me.
I mean, they just shot the puck. Like, it was a lot of, like, screen shots from the blue line. Yep. It was like, hey, let's just fire a million shots. Let's move the puck quickly, get it on net. Let's bang in some rebounds. Mm-hmm. Let's deflect some pucks. Let's screen some goalies. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, well, just...
Again, you have the guy who's literally... sometimes you do the, like, literally, but it's not. Literally the best person in the world at firing the puck. And he should have more space to do it. He should have more time. And this isn't, I'm not saying this is like, this is a critical flaw of Matthews. This is a problem with the power play as a whole. But it is just, it's so, the last two guys that scored 60, well, okay, sorry. Damn, Pastrnak and McDavid ruined this. But before them, the last two guys who had scored 60, all we think of them is setting up shop in one spot on the power play and just blast off every time. And I don't think that I don't want the Leafs power play to be that. They have too many other weapons for it to be that. Mm-hmm. But it's just so jarring that Matthews is the goal scorer he is. And I do feel like at one point this year, he did kind of develop that little spot on the on his one-timer side, not quite on the flank, kind of more bottom half of the dots. And it feels like he was doing some damage there. And again, it's not to say he's not been in that part of the ice, but it just seemed like that was kind of his Ovechkin stammer spot. And it just hasn't taken hold the way it did for a fleeting moment this year.
I mean, maybe this is dumb hockey fan thought, right?
Generally because speaking, like, comes out at this time. Yeah,
yeah, no. You're like, shoot, right? Like, shoot. And that's the,
God. You know what, though? Sometimes people are right. I remember watching a game when I was a kid, and it was like 2 seconds left in the period, and Ken Klee had the puck, and everyone was yelling shoot at him. And guess what? He did, and it went in. And it was Ken Klee, okay?
All I want to see on the power play is a million shots. I mean, look at the two Bruins power play goals yesterday. So they're like innocuous looking shots, nice shots inside the post, but just get bodies in front. Bother the goalie. That's what you're going to have to do with Jeremy Swayman too. I mean, good goaltending gets beaten by getting in his face.
Yeah.
You're not going to score a clean goal probably on Jeremy Swayman.
I would not. Well, other than Matthews. I feel like it's like, he could rip one by him. But other than that, not banking on it.
Saturday was frustrating.
Also, oh, one other thing. If Max Domi, like, hey, again, like, if you want to cook up another hype video, go for it. I love that. If you want to go get in Brad Marchand's face, I love that. This is greasy. It's playoff stuff. You got to start following on Swayman. You do. Like, there's just traffic around the net all the time. You got to start following on him. You got to make him uncomfortable.
Yes.
And, again, this isn't, like, not calling for war crimes like you were earlier on in Jazz.
That's a joke.
Yeah, of course. No, it's like, I definitely didn't, like, reach across the table and fist bump you when you told that joke. No, no, no. But you have to get in his kitchen. You got to get in his face. And that should be Bertuzzi. That should be a little Domi. Mm-hmm. Matthew Nyes, I loved his game. He could be a little more in that area as well. So I think that's as much. If the Leafs want to take it to Boston, be physical and be nasty, and, like, I'm saying that way, but I want to see that.
Yeah.
That has to be part of it as well as getting in Swayman's kitchen.
Yep.
Easier said than done. I know, like, Boston would, you know, like, do some stuff to stop that, but if you're going to fight them, go fight them over there.
Yeah. Brendan Carlo, he's a large fellow, and he likes to remove people from that area of the ice.
You know, Ryan Reeves is a large fellow himself and not the most easily removed object. I would imagine. I could tell you I wouldn't have much luck.
Anywho, again, maybe it all gets reversed tonight.
I'm not ruling that out. I'm not calling for it either, but, like, yeah.
No.
Leafs show up and one goes in
on
early.
On balance, they didn't look like they were blown out of the building.
Nope.
Obviously.
Oh. God, we got the sweet deserve to win-o-meter again. God, I hadn't seen that since, like, the Babs days. Took me way back.
Can I tell you the true reason for optimism in my messed up sports brain?
I'm so excited.
Bruins have won 5 consecutive games over the Leafs this season. You're not going to win all the games.
Yeah. The way this is trending, it might be 9.
It doesn't happen. They're not going to win all the games, okay? Just, it's a mathematical certainty.
Well, I will hold you to that.
Yeah. Anyway, game 2 tonight. When we come back, though, we're in it. We're the best part of the sporting calendar. There's just no debate about it.
Oh, yes. Agreed. I love you, NFL, but I do not miss it 1 second right now.
Yeah.
That's the thing that jumps out is how little I miss the NFL.
Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs have started. I mean, baseball as well. We already talked about baseball.
We had an elevated event in golf. I'm going to get to watch the finish of it during the last hour of the show this morning. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Golf is being dominated by individuals. Yeah, just the men's and women's.
Just Scheffler and Korda.
I love golf.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We come back. More of that. As the Fan Morning Show continues, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning. So it didn't go well for the Toronto Maple Leafs, as you may recall.
You might have heard us regale you with tales of that for the last hour and 40 minutes, sir.
Going pretty well for the other Canadian teams that have played so far.
No, great. Just what everyone here wants to hear. who is this? You could take that tape, take over to, like, Gurdip and see it to fire. You could take it to Sid on BT being like, hey, aren't we all rooting? Wouldn't we all love to root for a Canadian team? Ew.
By the way, we can do this because, well, one, I know he's on the air and he's not listening right now. And two, he's my buddy.
Yeah.
But
I have news about this for you. I meant to tell you, but go ahead.
Okay, we're leaving the building on Friday. And we usually chat him up if we see him.
We'll fist pound.
And he's like, he did the classic sports radio topic that's been done many times, but it's been a while since he's been in sports radio. So he's like, I can't wear a jersey of somebody younger than me, right? It has to be like a historic Leaf.
Yeah.
He was wearing.
This is insane.
Okay, a number 13 Leafs jersey, which you're like, maybe that's his number. No, had the C on it.
Captain's C.
With Alawalia. As the nameplate. So a Matt Sundin jersey, but instead of Matt Sundin, greatest Leaf of all time.
At least that he saw. Yeah.
It's his own last name on the back of the jersey, which there are, like, listen, to each their own, and I'm not going to. That's egregious. I've never even seen that before.
Well, and to have the, like, for him to come up to us and be like, this is so cool, right, guys?
Oh,
and
my
us,
God.
I, again, pulling back the curtain, as we saw it, I was walking over there going, I can't believe this. I don't want to talk about this. And then he's like, your opinion? And I'm like, well, you've asked. I have news for you on this, though.
Okay.
I walk by. We walk by the illustrious CHFS studios every day coming in here. I don't know who it is. I'm assuming Matthews, but he has on like the Justin Bieber jersey today with an A on the front. So I don't know. Maybe he's made himself the assistant captain now.
Wait, does it have Aluwale on
the didn't see. I just saw from the front. I saw an A, and I think I saw a 3. So I'm going to assume it's Austin Matthews in the Justin Bieber jersey. But
with
I would
Aluwale
love,
on the back.
But I'd love the bit if he, 34, Aluwale, now he's the assistant captain. I would love that bit. Oh, God. I love it. And like again, he's obviously not listening because, you know, like doing his job now. But we love you, Gurdeep.
Yeah. I hate the jersey. It's horrific.
Oh, obviously.
It's horrific.
Can hate things and horrific. Love people.
There's a guy that's a real sports fan. But yeah. It's been too long since he worked in this industry. He forgot what it's like to be a real sports nut.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, you're right. That's the sect of people who are like, well, Leaf fans, your team's eliminated, aren't you?
Obviously, rooting. You're cheering for the Vancouver Canucks.
Ew. Not quite.
Ew.
I will say, though.
Share price.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But nothing does it quite like Leafs going deep.
Oh, like if we could just pick for us, and everybody knows. Mm-hmm. But like Leafs Oilers. Oh my God.
Yeah. You think you're invested in the Leafs run? You Leaf fans for a lifetime? We have real financial incentive for the Leafs going on an extended postseason run.
I'm both.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I would like to see the country. Not that it's not doing this in a myriad of other ways, but rip itself to shreds over Leafs Oilers. I would like to see that.
Yeah, that'd be great. So like you don't want it to go this way. Like you'd rather have the league's longest run of being in the postseason, but what the Canucks have done, I mean, they were in the postseason, that the weirdo whatever, but there was no fans there. Mm-hmm. But having the extended break between home playoff games, yeah, that's they'll be jaded probably by the end of this series. Mm-hmm. If they don't win it, certainly next year. But yeah, it's something you forget the feeling, if you're a Leaf fan, what that first home game felt like against the Washington Capitals in a series. You're like, oh, well, we're just going to be cannon fodder. Oh, no, I got a chance to win it. We got one of the best up-and-coming young stars in the league. Certainly Stanley Cups aplenty are coming.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because the Canucks are in a slightly different spot because it's like they were running away with the President's Trophy at one point in time. Like, do they get to just enjoy it? And the Preds are... The Preds are not the Capitals, but like they're closer to the Capitals than the Bruins. Like you should win that series. They're in a really interesting spot that you're right. They never really got the, oh, hey, this is fun. Let's go for a ride and see what happens. Yeah. Like not heads will roll. Like so many people are locked up and the team's kind of built and it's, you know, a stepping stone season. It is what it is. But they almost didn't get that year that the Leafs got of just pure how the Leafs could have got smoked in 4 games. Oh, it would have went, oh, that wasn't good, but oh well, they'll learn.
It was like game one of the season, losing in overtime to the Senators, but Austin Matthews scoring 4 goals.
That's exactly what it was. It was just all process. Results didn't matter. And the Canucks, because of the way their build has gone, they never really got that. And this year is kind of included in that, I think. Do you not think?
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly more pressure than there was on the Leafs, but Quinn Hughes is like a baby.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't like, I see what you're saying, but okay. Like the Quinn Hughes, he's actually an interesting guy. Cause I think like the forwards you could do it more with, but if Quinn Hughes struggles defensively in a series against the Predators,
yeah,
like what's going to happen when he plays a team with real forwards?
Yeah.
Sorry, Philip Forsberg. No offense. Little offense, Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, they win game one in comeback fashion after, oh man.
The two fastest goals in team history as well.
And Thatcher Demko with the save of the postseason so far in the first period there, going post to post with his pad. Tremendous, tremendous save. Winnipeg Jets with the game of the postseason so far.
Hair on fire.
7-6. My favorite tweet. Oh, I got to get the.
Oh, is this the. Oh, no, because we haven't had overtime yet.
No, the Tim Reynolds tweet about, hey, here's the number of games, playoff games, in which a team by the name Jets has scored 7 in one of those games. And it's like Winnipeg Jets twice, New York Jets 0, over the last decade or so.
That's an amazing. I didn't see that.
Yeah, so the Avalanche, they make a game of it, and boy, they probably weren't going to score in the final 30 seconds, but they were down 7-5.
Nuts.
And score, like, the most random goal of the postseason so far to make it a 7-6 score line. But, yeah, this is, I think, just on balance, the Avalanche, maybe the most talented team in the playoffs. Yeah. But they're right there with the Leafs as far as team save percentage during the regular season. Georgiev was real bad. Had a save percentage under 900. They could be completely undone. And they've already got a cup to show for it. Yeah. But, like, yeah, this is a... This is a team not dissimilar talent-wise to the one that won it all, and they could be completely undone by their goaltending. Now, that being said, they are the highest-scoring team in the NHL, and they put up six against the guy that's going to win the Vezina.
Yeah, it's... I mean, you can go two ways of that in terms of their thinking, right? You can say, ah, great, we popped six past Hellebuck. There is no layer of infallibility, but how many times are you going to do that? You have literally nothing to show for it in the series. I mean, Georgiev... This is the thing about evaluating goalies. Remember when he was backing up Shesterkin in New York? And man, it's like, this is funny how long ago this was, but it was like, I remember having conversations of like, okay, Engvall and what to get Georgiev in Toronto? And it's like, oh, that would have made literally no difference at all. And losing Pierre Engvall and getting Alex Georgiev. It's so hard to find the answer, and especially what your team is versus what it's been. The other thing about this with the Avs is, if any team has belief that they could do it with goaltending, it's them. Like Darcy Kemper was good enough, and then they said, see ya. And he went like kind of blind partway through that postseason run. He got like poked in the eye. Weird stuff that happened with them. So I think that's the thing about the Avalanche is that they got to be sitting there going, oh my God, if we get a save, we're laughing to another cup. But they also are sitting there going, we've done this with ho-hum goaltending. It wasn't as bad
as Gorgie. Not this bad.
But I think that the... Much like the Leafs, they've been shot in the foot in goaltending, and that is what happened in game one. But we've seen the Hutchinson starts a pass where the first shot goes in, and they say, okay, there's no point in playing. Mm-hmm. The Avalanche know they can overcome pedestrian goaltending and not overcome it Thursday against the Stars in the regular season, but in the playoffs when it matters. They do have the muscle memory of being able to overcome this. Not this, but substandard goaltending.
Yeah.
But also just like, thank you, Jets and Avalanche. It was wonderful.
Yeah, they just need... Georgiev to allow six, and then they go to overtime.
Yeah, be Grant Fuhr.
lastly, for me,
poor Grant Fuhr, by the way. Just like, guy just won all the time. Yeah. Every time he's a bad goalie, like, he did the Grant Fuhr, though.
I need the Matt Rempe being a playoff contributor narrative for all the people that hated him being the sideshow
including the regular season. Up next.
Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, no, he was not a guarantee to be in the lineup for game one. Scores the postseason opening goal.
Took
the
a penalty
Rangers.
And they stuck with him.
Oh, my goodness. You'd rather be Austin Matthews as far as having a rookie season, right? But this...
Yeah, but if you can't, like, how high is this on the list?
It's unbelievable.
They were talking to him post-game. That was the first time his mom had ever seen him play. I don't know if it was in the National Hockey League, but definitely at MSG. It was just your all-time aw shucks post-game interview. They're, like, asking him about... going to dinner with his mom, and he's like, I'm not so good at making reservations, so I had to go to like the 10th place. Somebody asked him, like, oh, did your mom give you some more juice? He goes, oh, come on, baby, I always got juice. Like, this kid, he just has moxie. There's something about him. There was even a moment I can't remember if it was at the end of the game or at the end of one of the periods, but the entire Capitals team is leaving the ice, and for some reason, Trevor Van Riemsdyk decided he was just going to go full chihuahua and start barking at the entirety of the Rangers team. And Rempe just came in, and it was obviously in a threatening way, but he just put his arm around him like, what do you want to do here, pal? Mm-hmm. And guess what? TVR wanted to go skate back with his team is what he wanted to do in that spot. Obviously, the Rangers are going to go as far, and like Panarin scored, that's big for them. It's like they're going to go as far as, you know, Shesterkin takes them and Panarin goes. But having this guy have that moment, it's awesome for him. And again, like Damo will disagree with us in 15 minutes here, but it's awesome for the game.
You know what? Let's just not bring it up.
I agree.
We'll probably talk Leafs.
Yeah.
With Damon Cox. Speaking of which, time now for the Wake and Rake presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sports book. 19 plus, bet responsibly. Well, Leafs, Bruins, game two tonight from Boston. This was pretty much a coin flip series to start the series. No, not so much. Bruins favored to win it now, minus 250. Leafs plus 200. In tonight's game, it is the Leafs plus 115 underdogs, the Bruins minus 135, the total like it was in game one, 5.5, Brent.
This is dicey given how good Swayman was in game one. I'm going to go over. 5.5, it's a low total. And I, with the firepower that both these teams have, and quite frankly, the somewhat shaky nature of Ilya Samsonov at this very moment, I think that's the thing I'm most confident in. Over 5.5, you got to pay a little vig on it, but minus 120, I like that.
Okay, here's what I like in this game.
Oh, no.
So I've been to Vegas, and my favorite game to play in Vegas is Casino War.
Okay.
Because it's like coin flip, right? Okay, like, sure. And if you just keep losing, like, eventually you're going to win. So you just double your bet.
I feel like that's what they build the casinos off, but go ahead.
Eventually, the Maple Leafs will beat the Bruins season.
Some guy in Vegas is just licking his chops, being like, can't wait till Ben comes back.
Anyways, again, like, eventually this is going to work out. And boy, it just, when you think things are at their bleakest, maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe it's an oncoming train. But yeah, the Leafs at plus 115, eventually going to win a hockey game, change the narrative. By the way, this game is live on 680 City News Radio, 7 p.m., and streaming on the Sportsnet app. And that was the Wake and Rake presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sportsbook, 19+, bet responsibly.
Oh, man, I took them in the first game, so that was my fault. You get to be the mush tonight. Although, I'd love to have you be a good luck charm here and ride, in the least, riding your coattails of you feeling things out for when they win games. I'd gladly do it. I took them to win game one. There was no way I was going to do it again.
Here's my guess that I mentioned that the William Nylander excuse is like sixth down the list. Like, I'm 606th down the list if the Leafs lose this series that I suggested people wager on the Toronto Maple Leafs in a postseason game. But yeah, be heartened by the fact that they won game two. Like, again, is it okay? That was bleak on Saturday. I'll tell you, having lived through it, it wasn't as bleak as game one against the Lightning last year.
You are right. And a big part of it was the, I don't think this can be overstated. You were smart to bring it up early. Neither of us have brought it up since. They now know a postseason series can end successfully. Like, there is a difference of coming back and going, okay, we'll come back, win our game, and we'll lose in six or seven. But they won. Like, that has to, I don't know that it means much, but it has to mean something.
Has to.
Please?
All right, well, we come back. The aforementioned Damian Cox. As the Fan Morning Show continues, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.